Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Tuesday, December 3rd. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on for the day. Your man, James Jackson, back with you. Appreciate you guys tapping in with me again. It's Tuesday today. Like I said, a game day against the Hornets, and I'm bringing you everything you need to know about the Sixers. A pretty eventful kind of past week for the team. Yesterday had some more developments as well, and I will get to those in just a second. Make sure you're following me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23, on Twitter at ClapYourHandsPod for the podcast. Some great follows on there between the podcast, myself, Elliot, and Jack. You need to make sure you're staying up to date and staying in tune with all things Sixers basketball. You know how we do for the morning pods. I'll talk about the schedule. I'll go over scores around the league, some injury news, regular news, and then on the other side of the break that I take, I'll get into some analysis, my three takeaways, my three things to watch for as the Sixers go to take on the Hornets tonight in Charlotte. 7 p.m. tonight is the game time. The Sixers down in North Carolina in Charlotte to take on the Hornets for the second time this season. The Sixers actually are 4-0 in their past four meetings against the Hornets, most recently coming in the beginning of last month, November 3rd, I believe it was, where the Sixers beat the Hornets in Philadelphia, the Jared McCain pop-out game. If we all can remember back that far, the first time the painted one popped out on the scene. So it's the final NBA Cup game of the season. The Sixers are 1-2 in NBA Cup group play. Look to end 500, but the knockout stages have already been decided for their group, East Group A. The Cavs and Magic have already locked up those two seeds and will be representing the East Group A in the knockout stages of the NBA Cup, with their eyes on going to Las Vegas for the championship rounds, the big spectacle that is the NBA Cup, the NBA in-season tournament. But the Sixers can still go to 500 and make the end record of their NBA Cup season look respectable. So they look to do that tonight against the Hornets. We go around scores from around the league, teams that we should be paying attention to as Sixers fans. We're really two in action last night. First one, the Celtics get a blowout win against the Heat, 108-89. Jaylen Brown was the leader in that game, led all scorers with 29 points. And how about the legend of Peyton Pritchard, which seems to grow game after game, week after week, season after season. It just seems like Peyton Pritchard is like one of the best bench players, one of the best backup point guards, one of the best reserve players in the NBA. It just seems that he always has, you know, a moment or a time that he's shining. He added 25 points off the bench in their win last night against the Heat. But the Heat were without Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, Josh Richardson, and Nikola Jokic. So not unfathomable or kind of easy to see how the Heat you know, we're able to get run away from with this game. But the Celtics continue their hot play, get a win, a blowout win against the Heat, 108-89. The Bulls get the best of the Nets, too. So the Nets drop one, 128-102. The Bulls win. Former Sixers draft pick Nick Vucevic actually having one of his best games of the season for this year. 21 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists for Vooch. Bulls had 6 overall players in double figures, which if you follow the Bulls or know anything about the Bulls, that is a very uncommon occurrence for that many players to step up and aid in a victory. So the Bulls get some much-needed help and some support. The Sixers go to Chicago to play the Bulls on Sunday at 1 p.m. The Nets in this game also had 6 players in double figures, but their leading scorer was Derek Whitehead, who only had 18 points. That loss for the Nets was really the difference for them being the 10th seed in the East, which they are currently, and the 7th seed, right? They would have been 10-12, which would have been in the 7th seed. They are 9-13, which lands them in the 10th seed. So the bottom half, the bottom part of that Eastern Conference really jumbled up. So not a lot of margin for error if you're at the bottom of that conference, which the Sixers are at the bottom of that conference right now. Let's go to some injury updates. We got official word for yesterday for Joel Embiid's status for tonight's game. He's going to remain out tonight versus the Hornets in Charlotte. Embiid is set to miss his 5th game in a row with left knee injury management. Like I said, it'll be his 5th consecutive game he's missing after playing in about 4 or 5 games since returning from injury to start the season. And with Embiid out, and now until they get some of their new signees acclimated, I'll get to that in just a second, signing and hopefully bringing up some people. They're going to rely on Yabusele and Adembona to occupy those big spots. KJ Martin will probably be getting some minutes at the 5 as well. So Embiid, hopefully, will be back very soon. You heard Nick Nurse at the end of last week talk about how the swelling has gone down in his knee, starting to progress. So hopefully that lands him on the floor with his team very soon. Besides Embiid and Andre Drummond, who I reported yesterday will miss a couple weeks with his ankle injury, their injury report is still kind of crowded for the Sixers. Reggie Jackson remains day-to-day, but it's probable for tonight's game with a knee injury. We know he's missed the last several games dealing with that knee injury. Kyle Lowry also missed Saturday's game in Detroit, but also listed probable for tonight's game dealing with a hip injury himself. Caleb Martin on the injury report listed as day-to-day, but him also probable for tonight's game as he recovers from a back injury. So a lot of day-to-days, a lot of probables. All 3 of those players are probable for tonight's game, and that is a good sign as, you know, the Sixers lose one this past weekend in Detroit with Andre Drummond. It can only help if they get these 3 players back in their lineup. For the Hornets, only 2 players on their injury report. Both of them are big ones, though, to be honest. Grant Williams suffered a season-ending ACL right knee injury. Torn ACL in his right knee in the 4th quarter of the Hornets' loss to the Bucks on November 23rd. He went down, tried to get back up immediately, and if you guys saw, kind of hobble his way to the sideline, was unable to make it, and then had to be carried off by teammates after that. So prayers up for Grant Williams. Speedy recovery. Hopefully he gets back next season better. And then LaMelo Ball, the Hornets' only all-star hopeful, is on the injury report for the next couple of weeks as he deals with a left calf strain. So the Hornets will not be without their best player and without one of their starters tonight and for the foreseeable future. So that is going to affect Charlotte for sure as they go forward. Let's get to some news because the Sixers made some roster moves and some roster shakeups yesterday. They signed Pete Nance to a 2-way contract, which means they had to waive Lester Quinones off the team to make room for him. With the injuries to the center position, the Sixers went and made a move to try and combat that problem. Pete Nance, who is the younger brother of Hawks big Larry Nance Jr. and son of Larry Nance Sr., both NBA dunk champions, played in just 8 games last year for the Cavs, but the college tape is really what people point to see his production. Played 4 seasons at Northwestern before transferring to North Carolina to finish out his college career. Shot 34.7% from 3, attempting 3 threes per contest, Also appeared in the G League last year for the Cavs affiliate in the G League. His G League numbers are nothing to scoff at either. Averaged 18.3 points, 6.8 rebounds, 3.5 assists on 1 steals and 2 blocks per game, shooting 32% from behind the arc, which is not great. We need to see those numbers go up, but on more than six attempts per game. So, Sixers wasted no time. You have Joel Embiid, the starting center, who is in and out consistently of the lineup, which is not great. Then you have Andre Drummond going down and is going to miss at least 2 weeks. And look, when the Sixers say at least two, they mean at least, right? That we know that means he will be reevaluated at that time, and he could still be out even after that reevaluation happens, and then we see an official timetable for his return. So right now, it's not clear as to when Andre Drummond comes back. It's not clear as to when Joel Embiid is a consistent mainstay in the Sixers lineup. That big position, that five position in particular, is ultra thin. I mean, really, truly, on the depth chart, we have no true center on the depth chart right now. They needed to go out and make a move quickly, and they did that with Pete Nance. We will see when he gets called up, when he gets put in the lineup, and you know how much production he gives. But if we know anything about the Nances, they got high motors, they work hard, and they can jump out the gym. So let's see if Pete carries on the bloodline that way. The Sixers did have all three of their two-way roster spots filled. So to do that, they did unfortunately have to waive Lester Quinones to make room for Nance. If you guys remember, in my preseason daily pods, I was kind of excited for Lester Quinones to come to the team to see what kind of impact, what kind of help he could bring. He shot the ball very well for the Warriors, and most importantly for their G League team, being G League Most Improved Player a couple seasons ago. But the need for Lester Quinones is not nearly as big for the need for the backup big spot. So Lester Quinones is the odd one out, and they make room by waiving him and bringing in Pete Nance. We will see when Pete Nance dons an official 76ers jersey and takes the floor. Okay. Time for me to take a break. I will be right back on the other side of this break. Let's get ready for the game day tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. My three things to watch for. We go for two in a row, man. And I'll talk about how the Sixers do that. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all. Time for us to get ready for a game day tonight. The Sixers go for only their fifth overall win of the season, but their second win in a row would be their second win in as many games this season against the Charlotte Hornets would be their fifth win, and fifth consecutive win against the Charlotte Hornets dating back to last season. Appreciate you starting your day with me as we get ready for the game tonight. Your man, James Jackson. Follow me and the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23 for myself, at Clap Your Hands Pod for the podcast on Twitter. This and much more if you go and get those follows too. So for tonight's game, my three things to watch for as the Sixers go into North Carolina to take on the Charlotte Hornets to get, like I said, their fifth win of the season. First thing I'm watching for, two teams trending in the opposite directions right now. The Sixers, like I said, going for their second consecutive win, second win in a row tonight. I know that doesn't sound like a whole lot. I know that normally in a normal season, that's not ever anything that we would kind of mark or emphasize, right? Two wins in a row against the Pistons and the Hornets. You know, if I tell you that we were going to do that in September, you'd tell me big whoop. Nothing to kind of note, you know, nothing to run home about. We have not gotten off to that kind of start this season. So it is noteworthy. But that also doesn't account for the good second half against the Rockets, which I know was a loss. But everyone kind of noted that how different the Sixers looked in the second half of that game, even in going to a loss. It looked like a clear switch was flipped, and they played a lot better, carried that into Detroit, and hopefully we'll carry that into tonight to get a win. On the flip side of that, the Hornets are looking really right now in direct opposite of how the Sixers are looking. The Hornets have lost five straight and look to be, like I said, going in a downward direction as the Sixers hopefully are going in an upward direction. They're also going to be without LaMelo Ball tonight. right, who's going to be, you know, sidelined for a couple of weeks with that left calf strain. So you not only have two teams that are going in opposite directions, but you have one team who, even with the injury, seems to be putting some of the pieces together to try to figure out who they are and what they can do this season, and to make sure that when those big pieces return consistently, that they have a foundation laid that they can just take forward. Those big players, I mean, being Embiid consistently, being Paul George getting back to full form, being Maxey getting back to full form. On the other side, you have a team who is struggling with that same thing, finding an identity, finding where they're going to go this season, and now has to do that without their top scorer and best player for, you know, the next couple of weeks, the foreseeable future. I know the Sixers are doing that as well without their top scorer, maybe not their best player. Maybe their best player, you know, is a 6'4 guard out of Kentucky. But they are doing that without one of their best players, their top scorers right now. But the Hornets clearly aren't figuring it out without LaMelo Ball. So a huge opportunity for the Sixers to take advantage of a depleted group. And like I say, get that second win in a row, fifth win of the season. LaMelo is also one of the, if not the best, fourth quarter scorer in the NBA this season. Before he went out of his injury, he was leading the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. Right. And if you remember all the way back to the beginning of November, when him and Jerry McCain were going crazy down the stretch, we saw it firsthand about how LaMelo Ball can go crazy and kind of take over a game in the fourth quarter for the Hornets. They have nobody to do that tonight. They have nobody who in the fourth is going to take the ball and consistently go get them a bucket without them having to worry. The only player that we have to look to or try to stop in doing that is Brandon Miller, a second-year player who, you know, has his highs and lows and his inconsistencies. I'm a fan of Brandon Miller's, but he's no LaMelo Ball when it comes to consistent fourth-quarter scoring for the Hornets. So the Hornets are without a lot. They didn't have a lot to start. So it should be a clear path to victory tonight for the Sixers, even on the road, even without Joel Embiid. Second thing I'm watching for is the Sixers' small ball slash backup bigs tonight. Until Pete Nance is ready to go and be a mainstay in the rotation, if at all, let's remember that this is a two-way contract and not guaranteed to come up and play any kind of big rotational minutes for the Sixers. But until that happens, they have no choice but to embrace the small ball movement with Drummond and Embiid on the sideline. No doubt that tonight Yabusele will start at the five, with Adembona being the reserve center. And like I said earlier, KJ Martin is going to have to play some minutes at the center position, right? Yabusele is not, that's not his natural position, being a center. Adembona is no starting center in the NBA just yet. So KJ Martin's going to have to come in there and give, you know, solid production, solid minutes at the five position. We saw the Sixers do it very briefly earlier in the season when Embiid was out before Paul George really came back into the rotation. And it was not even for long stretches, but they've shown the ability to go to that lineup. Nick Nurse has used it before. So I believe they're going to have to go back to that. They're not going to be able to get away from KJ Martin being at the five. So I do believe the Hornets team is a good team to start using this rotation against and start figuring out how, you know, you're going to get that rotation on the floor on a consistent basis. Not a very big team, and also not a very physical team. Won't punish you in the paint. They rank last in the NBA in points in the paint right now. So they don't look to score inside. They look to get a lot of their scoring on the perimeter, or that is where they do get their scoring. Even if they look to get their scoring in the paint, they're not getting it right now. However, with the caveat of them being last in the points in the paint, they are seventh in the NBA in rebounding, which worries me a little bit, right? We don't have Andre Drummond, our best rebounder on the team. We don't have Embiid, a very good, one of the best rebounders in the league when he wants to be. So for a team that is not big but rebounds well, that tells me that everybody on the floor has a high motor. Everybody on the floor goes and helps in rebounding. All five are crashing the boards. All five are gang rebounding, especially when the Hornets are on the offensive end. When the Sixers cannot give up many and multiple offensive rebounds, many and multiple extra possessions that way, that is how you let a lesser team like the Hornets come back and beat you. And for what it's worth, Yabusele hasn't always shown to be the most willing rebounder night in and night out. Right, so he's going to have to, on a possession-to-possession basis, be a willing and consistent rebounder. While Embiid is in and out, while Drummond is out, while he is the starting five, I may need to see some 8, 9, 10 rebound games from Yabusele. I can't always see 4, 5, 6 rebounds in the box score. I'm going to have to see some 8, 9, 10 double-digit rebound games from Yabusele. And if Adembona wants to stay on the floor for him, it's going to have to keep the foul trouble under control. Can't be out there if in 3 minutes you're collecting 2 fouls. That's not going to help us. That makes us just as thin at the five in the center position. So let's see how well the Sixers bigs do this first game holding down the four. And if they can continue to do that for the next couple of weeks until we get everything back under control. The last thing I'm watching for is the Sixers go and take on the Charlotte Hornets tonight. Jared McCain's new role, okay? Because the Rook popped out. I call it the pop out. And for those, if you know, you know, from, you know, the rap battle beef that has been going on in 2024, Jared McCain had his own pop out. For a minute, it seemed like Jared McCain was the leader in the clubhouse to win Rookie of the Year this season. And although that campaign, to me, is still alive and well, his numbers have come back down to earth since the pop out, which coincidentally was against the Hornets all the way back. I talked about that. McCain went on a streak of 7 straight games with 20 plus points, but hasn't cracked that in the last 3 games, which actually coincides with PG's return. Right. So since PG has come back, we've seen Jared McCain's production go down a little bit. And I think quickly Jared McCain is learning that while it was great, he took advantage of the opportunity that was given to him in that 7-game stretch. That's not going to be his primary role. That's not going to probably be his role at all if the Sixers can help it. Right. Since PG's return, we've seen McCain move back to the bench and we've seen his minutes start to decrease. But that doesn't mean to me his value on this team goes down. That just means what he does with the ball and where his role is on the floor changes. Right. If we remember, McCain was never drafted to be any kind of primary scoring option at any point in a game this season. But he could still produce, to me, more than he was originally thought when he was drafted. Right. We didn't know if Jared McCain was even going to be here. We thought he might be in Delaware for most of the season. So the fact that he's here and not going anywhere is already more than expected. And I think he can continue to produce that way. It's just not going to be in the way that he thought once he popped out, right? So I think he's going to have to go back to being, you know, a complimentary, a role player, a floor spacer for the Sixers, and I think he can do that well. When he was drafted, we talked about how well he can shoot the ball, right? We talked about how well he could be a catch-and-shoot player, his IQ, and although he's not the best defender, the willingness to show effort and energy on that end of the floor. He's going to have to be able to go back to that, and he's going to have to be selective now when he puts the ball on the floor and looks to kind of create his own shot and create for himself. That green light isn't going to go on as much. That leash is now a little bit shorter. Okay, you don't have the ability now to maybe put up 20 shot attempts, 15 shot attempts. It may start to go down to 7, 8, 9, 10 shot attempts, right? So you have to make the most of those attempts. They have to be very efficient. So, sorry, Rook, like the days of you getting the ball on an ISO and calling a high ball screen and running a 2-man action with somebody, those days might be coming to an end, but you can still help. You can still produce. We can still get a Rookie of the Year by the end of this year, right? It's just not going to be in the way that we thought. Those are the 3 things that I'm watching for tonight. Let's keep the trends going in the way that they're going right now. 2 teams going in the opposite directions. Those small ball and backup bigs. It's going to be the first game in a new-ish role for the foreseeable future. Let's see how they do. And Jared McCain, the painted one. Okay, we're going to have to change our role a little bit, but that should not affect how we produce and how we play on the floor. Sixers go for 2 in a row, 5 straight against the Charlotte Hornets. Hopefully, when I talk to you tomorrow, we're talking about a win. But until then, I will see everybody in 24 hours.